keeps more time in it than what I only go probably 6 over.
Well, if anybody has, have you got a favorite carol that you'd like for us to sing? Stephen? Christy? I'll take favorites today. Not Blessed Quietness, but I don't like that.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Carol?
56.
56. Do the job. Christy? 145. Do the job. Space for one more. No, I haven't. I've got.
No.
No, yep, space for one more.
Number 8 in the black book.
Number 8 in the black book. Okay, okay.
I thought if I chose the letter, I suggested maybe it would get
to. All right, we're going to begin. This is us tonight, unless the bus breaks down outside of the church of a church group that was looking for somewhere to spend their midweek service. So we're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing number 4 in the wee black books. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to meet together to serve you. I just pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us. I know the numbers are low tonight. Please, Lord, just watch over us and keep us, and be especially with Norman and Ling tonight, Pat and Steve too. I know they'd all be here if they could. And look after Esther, myself and Monica, Christy, and pray it be with Carol and John and Stephen too. Just pray, Father, that you would be our companion tonight, that you would work in each one of our hearts and minds, that you would give me the words to say, and that you would be with Lord, with those that are anywhere that the King James is being opened and the full counsel of it's being preached and taught. Just thank you for loving us, and we thank you, Lord, that you would send your Son. You did send your Son to give his life on the cross for us. Thank you for the good sense to accept him. Thank you, Lord, for a clear way to follow. And Lord, we just ask all this and thank you for it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Number 4 in the wee black books. Number 4 is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Sunshine rides to me.
Good start, good start. Right, don't put those wee books away. If you want to go forward a few pages to number 8, we're going to sing Christ the Saviour of Sinners. Hymn number 8. Should be well warmed up by the time we... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Songs this evening will be from the big thick books, but we're on to our Bible reading, and we're reading this evening from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Some amazing verses in this portion of God's Word, maybe some of the more memorable verses that you will come across in your Christian walk. I hope this is a help to you. This is from Brother Steve of Pat and Steve. Steve would be reading if he could between Steve and Norman and Will. But without Steve here, he sends me the chapters that he would read, and then we read them. So we're in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you for that. I know we're low in numbers. We don't really have any prayer requests except for, we miss Norman tonight. Pray for him. He's getting stuff done at his wife's grave, and people that he was depending on were very late. Ling is concerned that some of her patients may have been exposed to COVID-19 and she does not want to bring it into the church. Pat and Steve still not doing the best. Esther's skin infection has reared its head again, so please do remember that. Pat and Steve would be here if they could, and I know everybody would. We also miss Will and Christine this evening as well. It's just the diehards. In fact, I was going to say, it's the Three Musketeers times, what, 1¾. So, amen. The Lord always said there will only ever be a few. Sadly, that is true. And we are that few tonight. But the Word of God also says wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he'll be there in the midst. If you want to make a run for it, if you're afraid of God maybe pointing out something to you, and you don't want to hear the bad news, well, if you're with me, you can sit out at the front on the couch. It's quite comfortable. If you're here under your own steam, whenever we get a bit too close to whatever it is that bugs you, you can leave as well, but not you. But I'm glad to be able to be here. I've come down with some aches and pains. My joints are giving me a bit of bother. My surgical site has given me a bit of bother as well. I don't have any fever. I don't have any cough. My throat isn't sore. So, well, no more than it has been since I got out of hospital. But I would appreciate your prayers for that as well. Anything else we need to be praying for? Okay, please continue to pray for my dad as he gets settled in back at home, and that he gets spared the tender mercies of my brothers and sister. For us too, we're still in the process of getting a bedroom sorted out for him close downstairs, close to the bathroom, so please do pray about that. Our absent brethren, those that have slept and slid, and our country, America, Russia, all the other countries in the world, our world leaders, we're also commanded to pray for Israel. Peace of Israel. You bless the Jews and God will bless you. That's what God said to Abraham, 4,000 years ago. And you know what? He never went back on that. So be good to the Jewish people. Always fight their corner and God will do exactly the same for you. Nothing else? Good to be alive. Good to be saved. Good to be on the way to heaven. Our troubles could be over before, their troubles really would be over if the Lord came back in the next 5 minutes. It would save you having to listen to me and you would get the best preaching in the world up in heaven. But I think that's about that. If there's anything else, mention it in prayer and we will. I will write it down. Oh, one other thing. Has anybody got any private prayer requests? Mrs. Bradfield. Okay. Right. And me. We'd appreciate prayers too for the Cardwell family at this time. Amen. Right. Brother Christy, lead us in a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for this evening, for your grace, Lord, your renewed mercies every morning. Thank you, Lord, for salvation most of all, Lord, for still the freedom we have in this land. We worship together, Lord, in these times. Help us tonight. We pray a blessing upon the preacher of your word and to guide and lead him, Lord, just If you could hand upon him, Lord, take away his aches and pains, even though, Lord, and help him through the message, we pray. Guide and lead in this service, Lord, in each heart and mind, as you see we need, Lord, and you know that we need it. Pray that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
Help our sister churches, Lord, be with them as they stand to proclaim your word and be a light in this world as well. We pray, Lord, that you would grow your church, Lord, and your body and your bride, Lord, that you would watch over those, Lord, here at home and couldn't be here, mm-hmm. Lord. Just lift them up and sort out whatever circumstances they need to sort out. Remember the private prayer request, Lord, for those that are grieving, we pray for the general family, Lord, for Katie Cairns as well, Lord,
yes,
Lord. To comfort them, and for the Ritchie family, Lord, and Norman as well, too, at this time. Lord, watch over Frank in London, be with him, Lord, for Leonard and Kerrigan. Bless Israel, Lord, and give common sense to our world leaders in these days, too. Save the lost, we pray, Lord. Just be with those that we know that are downcast and sick as well. We pray in your hand upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. We're at number 56 in the books. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn there, when we all get to heaven. Amen. Be able to sing that in heaven as well. When we all get to heaven, hymn number 56. Away now and take the other big book out that you brought with you today, the Bible, and turn to Matthew chapter 10 with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 10. Just want to spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject of God's way or the broad way. God's way or the broad way. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. Like we said, we miss everybody that's not here, and we're sad when people can't make it. As long as they're alive and well and And the Lord knows we are just going to continue right on in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Beginning at verse number 28. And we're going to read up to verse number 39. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse number 28. Amen. The word of God says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. But I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Verse number 37 is our text this evening. I want to speak on the subject of God's way or the broad way. We'll have another wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Just be with each one of us as we spend this time around your word. And I know, Lord, it might seem like a difficult job to sort through the Gordian knots that is our soul and our thoughts, but I know you can do that, not just for us, but for every single soul that seeks you out and lets you into their heart and mind, Lord. I pray you, please. Please save lives. Please save souls. Please, Lord, edify saints. Help us, Lord, always to be a help in pointing people to the foot of the cross, to withstanding sin at every turn. But remembering, Lord, that judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and we need to start in our own backyards first. We know that you're a forgiving God, the God of the second chance. And we know, Lord, that regardless of how stupid we have been, or even the things that we're going to do, that no man, not even ourselves, can pluck you out of your hand. Pluck us out of your hand. Bless us now, Lord. Close us in with yourself. Chase the old devil far down the Maboy Road, so far, in fact, it takes him until at least the end of the service to get back up again. And just comfort us and give us portions of wisdom, Lord. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 I don't know if you noticed in your Bible that every single word except for the actual numbers of the verses in my Bible are completely in red. That means that's Jesus' quoted words for you and me tonight. And I can't just take verse number 37 because there's so much there. And verse number 37, God's way or the broad way, is an important part of that, but it is a part. So let's just have a look at it in the proper context, and we'll begin by setting the context, which is having a look at all of those other verses that we read out. We don't even get very far before we come to probably most Christians' reason for failure. And why they never grow is because they're afraid of what other people are going to say. "Oh, you're a holy Joe, you're a Moses." And as if that's supposed to be an insult to the Christian. I remember one of the greatest compliments that I got was being called a Mormon up in Craigan. I thought, I'll take that. Thank you very much. Because the Mormons are renowned, you know, for going round the doors and talking your ears off about Joseph Smith and the Moroni. Yeah, if anybody ever chose a name, they should have got a better PR man. But is Moroni the plural of moron, is it? I think it maybe is. But anyway, Jesus said, don't be, oh, well, actually went back a few verses there. Don't be afraid of what other people are going to say. Don't be afraid of people that'll give you a hard time, that'll kill the body. And I know that's a bit of a rough one to throw out there in this day and age, because we see so many movies of people being killed so inventively, and people dying in their own blood and with limbs whipped off or being blown to pieces or firing through a windscreen in a car. Like, we're afraid. We are afraid of death. And I don't recall who it was. Maybe it was Christy that mentioned it about a preacher of many years ago was accosted by a mugger. He says, give me all your money or I'll kill you. And he says, who are you to threaten me with eternal life? Wouldn't it be great to have so few burdens, so few tie-downs in this world that you could step off into eternity without a moment's thought? But this is what God is saying through his Son to us. Don't be worried. Our Bible reading said, if God be for you, who can be against you? That doesn't mean you walk out in the road in front of a lorry thinking that angels will whip you back, or you'll be like Superman and the lorry's going to wrap itself around you, and all the biggest trouble you're going to have is getting out through the car chassis. That doesn't mean that. It says, don't be afraid of what people are going to say about you. People need to hear the gospel. Sometimes the cost of telling people away up that ladder is a bit higher than telling people at the bottom of the ladder. But don't be afraid about what people are going to say to you or what people are going to do to you. In fact, God even says, you know what? You just preach whatever I tell you to preach. Whatever you hear in your ear. But we'll come to that in a little bit. Don't be afraid of them. You and me, everybody in this world is very valuable to God, is precious to God. And God gives the example. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? In other words, I don't know whether they used to eat them or roast them, but you know sparrows are really, really small birds, really, really big wings. They're like a little paper dart, really, and they whip around here, there, and everywhere. And they used to sell them for a farthing, for next to nothing. And the Lord said, you are worth more than many sparrows. Now, a lot of people think that many sparrows would be enough sparrows to fill in here and to be flying around. But the Bible talks about many on the broad road to destruction. And I'm telling you, that's billions. Okay? That's billions of souls. You are worth more than billions of sparrows. Don't be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God loves every single thing about you. He loves the way you smile. He loves the way you part your hair. Or attempt to part your hair. Goodness. It's getting harder and harder every year. He loves the way you struggle out of bed in the morning. I can almost see him laughing at us sometime. That old quilt seems to weigh like half a ton when you're trying to get out from underneath it on Sundays, but not any other days. But God loves us. And he loves us so much, he even keeps a track of the number of hairs we have on our head. And that's the least of details. The least of details. And God remembers that about us. So verse number 32, and here's a very interesting one that has been a great help to me whenever I went round the doors, because I always wanted to please God. And number 32 says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. That doesn't mean just about getting saved, that means about living for Jesus. And it is one of the reasons that so many Christians are living like one of those wee Duracell bunnies without the Duracell battery in it. We're living without power. Because yes, we get saved, and we know what the Bible says about people that are just saved and no more. It says, Jesus said, even the least of you is going to be greater than John the Baptist. Because he never had to get saved, but even the least of people in the kingdom of heaven had to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil once to get into heaven. John never had to. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But what about when we go to live for Jesus? What about whenever people say, "Are you a Christian? Did I see you bow your head? And I saw your lips moving whenever you were looking at your food and you were holding your head in your hands. It looked like you had a headache, but I saw your lips moving. What were you doing?" People, nothing. Honest, I wasn't doing anything. I'm telling you, it pays to pray out loud over your food. Well, I always remember praying out loud over my food with Steve in Tesco. Not Tesco, I'm thinking of Texas, home base. And a couple came up whenever we were heading out. Says, "Are you guys Christians?" And I said, "We are." I said, "We heard you praying, and then we started listening to your conversation. And then we had an opportunity to fellowship with people and encourage other people to show them that it's okay to pray out loud. People need to hear about Jesus. And if we are not prepared as Christians who have overcome our feelings," and we'll come to those in a little bit, "and have overcome the world's opinions and even the very armies of the devil himself to say, 'I'm going to get saved, I want to spend eternity in heaven,' why would you not just say that to some, to Joe Blow that you meet in the street? 'I'm a Christian. Do you want to know how I became a Christian? I repented of my sins, I looked at myself, compared it to what the Word of God says, and I got saved.'" And maybe before you go, you start into a mini message, you start, "Well, Lord, there's a couple of things written in your Bible, Lord. You said if I had confessed you before men, you confessed me before heaven. I'm going to need every single word that drips off my tongue, Lord. That needs to be from you." Jesus said, "I already promised I would do that for you." Well, let's have at it then. And you get power. But why is there no power? Why is there no divine provision in so many Christians' lives? Why are so many Christians living like so many lost people? I suppose I've really only one question for that, is when was the last time those Christians did things God's way? I remember counselling a family one time who was having some difficulties. And I came in and I set the Bible down and said, "Right, we're supposed to be Christians." They agreed. "Everything needs to be done the way Jesus said. Otherwise, I'm up and away." And they agreed. And they got on. And they stayed together. Came across another family who asked another set of, in quotes, Christians. And they came in and said, "Well, one of you is going to have to compromise. And there's going to have to be, somebody's going to have to give a bit, and somebody else is going to have to give a bit. And we're going to have to do things God's way." But these people that were being counseled had no idea what God's way was. And I said, "You know what, it's all very good, but we're here to talk about God and his power. And the only way you will ever get God's power in your life is to install it in your heart. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When was the last time we powered up? I know the word of God is hard to memorize. The old man doesn't like it one little bit. But you know what it does when it gets in there? Now, I'm old enough, and that's scary, I'm old enough to remember about the time when Tippex came out. How's that? That's about 40-something, 5 years ago. Everybody was learning how to write with their fountain pens. A good bleach got rid of your fountain pen mistakes. And so we had these wee bottles full of watered down bleach that we would take out and we would tip out our fountain pen ink. I remember that. And I remember whenever the Tippex came out and we thought that was great. But that was my way of doing it. When you had the Tippex and you put the Tippex on it, it was an even better way of doing it. It covered up our mistakes. But you know what would have been an even better way of doing it? Would have been to do it right in the first place. Because otherwise, the thing with putting the bleach in the paper was you couldn't write over it. Because the bleach was still activated. And the tip actually couldn't go over it with a fountain pen, but it looked much neater. We need to do it the right way. We need to think about what we're doing and do it God's way. Let me give you an example or two. For example, most people are looking to Google for the latest fashions. When was the last time we dressed to please God? Respectfully. Most people turn up at church when it's convenient. When was the last time we turned up at church to please God? But how do we know when God wants us to be in church? It says when the church doors are open, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When was the last time we took our Bibles out to please God? Have you ever, on certain days, it just seems like it's nice to open your Bible and read it? Maybe there's a rainstorm going outside and nothing's going to happen and you just want to sit and read your Bible. I've had that in a few summer days. There's just nothing to do and you just feel like reading the Bible. And it's good to feel like that from time to time. But when was the last time you got the Bible out and started reading it when God said, Mark, you need to be doing a bit of Bible reading. Or Mark, why don't you work more on those Bible verses? And we're coming to that. When was the last time we spent time in God's presence? Not with our shopping list of prayers, but because we just need to spend time in God's presence. It might come as a bit of a surprise to some of you, but I am currently co-parenting 3 kittens. Each one would fit in one hand. They're like tiny little balloons whenever they get fed. Their wee bellies just go right out and they're soon back in again. They're like, goodness, I think their wee legs are hollow. And you know what? As soon as they hear my voice, they come running. And I can feed them and they will sit and they will guzzle down a few tablespoonfuls of milk because that's about all they can manage. And they will guzzle down a wee piece of chicken that's chopped up for them. And then I want to go, but they're still crying for something. They've stopped eating, they've stopped drinking, but they're still crying for something. And I only twigged on it the other day. Do you know what they wanted? They just wanted held. They wanted comfort. They wanted to know that their provider was there for them, would pet them and keep them warm, because their mummy needs a good slap. She's giving me an extra hour of work every day looking after them. All they want is a little bit of comfort. And even if God's simplest of God's creatures have that need to have a loving parent put their arm around them, you can bet your bottom dollar, no matter how sophisticated an adult we think that we are, we need time in God's presence. Not going, God bless. Has anyone ever heard of Barry McGuigan? Remember, he used to stand at the end of everybody's fight, oh, I'd just like to thank my mummy and my daddy and my manager and everybody else. And he would be through like half the population in Northern Ireland before someone could get the mic off of him. It's not about being in God's presence. God, would you bless my mummy and my daddy and the cat and the dog, my sister and my brother and my auntie and my uncle, would you? And that's great, God, we'll see you later. And you don't even stop, you don't even sit down in his presence, you don't even prepare yourself, you don't even still your mind, nothing. And you expect your prayers to be answered? We expect our prayers to be answered. For by even that, we need time in God's presence. Because being in God's presence is a little bit like, well, bleach in a toilet. It makes us mindful of things that shouldn't be in our lives. Anyway, when was the last time we sang to please God? Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be an operatic singer. I can hear David's voice from here and Christie's, and I can even hear carols from time to time. I'm not saying you guys don't sing, it's just that these other voices drown you out. It doesn't matter how everybody else sings. It matters how you sing, whether it's in tune or out of tune. God says, sing. One of the most memorable songs I ever sung was like someone. Do you ever see your man in Jaws grinding his fingernails down the chalkboard? It sounded like that, but there was a fellow that wanted to sing. Would have needed a bucket, two or three buckets to hold the tune in, but he got up and sang to praise God. When was the last time we sang to praise God? When was the last time we just, well, God, you know what, I've got this, and this to do, and I'll spend time with you after. And how many times do we ever remember to do what God asked us to do? It's close to that there. Because we're so easily distracted. We're like magpies. We like shiny things. When was the last time we did God's will instead of our own? Or set other opinions aside to take God's side, the right side, instead of the popular side or the convenient side? When was the last time we testified of Christ instead of talking about the weather or the sports? I'm not saying we need to be walking around like this. Amen. Ringing a bell and whatever else it is that these monks and holy people of years gone by used to do. You can be a Christian. You don't have to look like a monk. You don't have to be singing psalms. You can be a Christian. Years ago, Stan used to live in Cornshell Fields on the other side of the bridge. He ended up calling it Cornhell Fields. It was that bad. But one of his neighbours kept very bad company and was talking to Stan one day, and he said, Stan, what's different about you? I've just been listening to you the past few minutes, and never once have you cursed or sworn and taken Jesus' name in vain. And Stan had an opportunity to speak to him about the Lord. Anyway, because of all of this, and because we think of ourselves first, and I'm talking in general about man as a creature, we have no power. We have no power. We're saved. And should the Lord come back today, a lot of people's going to heaven. Not most of them, but a lot of people's going to heaven. But all of our aspirations are a bit like the aspirations of Simon the Sorcerer, which Christy was speaking about there a couple of weeks back. A man that wanted power, but wanted the power that he could control and use his way and do whatever he wanted with, not God's power. Not power that is to be used the way God says. For the saving of souls, for the edifying of the saints. Did you know just about every single one of God's gifts to us, his blessings to us, is to enable us to help somebody else? They're no good unless we give them away. It's crazy. People never remember selfish people. They don't. Because most people in the world is like that. I want to give you a stupid example. And it cost me about £3 every time it happened. Whenever I still worked for Desmond's, coming back in those summer's days, there was a garage that was 2 minutes from Desmond's. And they used to sell a box of Polly pineapples for about £3 or £4. Everybody knows what a Polly pineapple is, don't they? We Icelandic. And I got a box of a dozen or 20. And I knew they all had to be gone. So in that good weather, I started at the security gate. Guys, have a lolly. And they got a lolly. And as I walked in through the door, anybody that was in the warehouse, do you want a lolly? Take a lolly. All I had to do was keep 6 for the guys in the department. And that was fine. And people remembered that. People remember those things when you give of yourself. Anyway, let's go on. When you don't have any power, you're not going to be able to deal with life the way the Lord could enable you. Not if you come across hard times, but when you come across hard times. And this little portion of God's word that we read goes on to talk about home. I'm only less than halfway through. It starts talking about living for Jesus and what that does in your own home. Because a lot of times people's not very happy when you start living for Jesus. Hand and heart, my mum and dad were very, very accommodating with me whenever I left the Presbyterian Church and became an independent Baptist. The only time my mother ever checked me on anything was whenever I chose to get baptized. And I said to her, Mum, Would you like to come up and see me baptized? You were there for the first one. I thought you might like to be there for the right one. And she said, now, Mark, now. She didn't come, but she was invited. When you start talking about discipline, when you start talking about no drinking or smoking or shacking up with people or paganism, you're going to rub some people up the wrong way. People are not going to want to hear that the things that they do, God says, God wags his finger at. But he doesn't really, you know, because there's not one of those things is going to stop you from getting into heaven. The only thing that stops you from getting into heaven is not getting saved. There's many as a murderer and a pagan and a devil worshipper is going into heaven. There's many as a prostitute and drug user is going to heaven. There's many as a minister and a teacher and a lawman and a judge and a policeman is going to go straight to hell. It's getting saved that puts you in heaven, not living a good life. Now, is anybody annoyed at anything I've said so far? That's pretty much the introduction. We'll get into the main thing now. The last wee bit we looked at talks about how important it is, then we'll get into the main bit. To at least take some of your life and live it for Jesus. Because if you live your life for yourself, I remember a preacher used to say, when you're all wrapped up in yourself, that's a pretty small, uninteresting package. Whenever you live for yourself and everything, your whole life revolves around getting what you want. Someday you're going to have to leave it all behind. Someday you'll step off into eternity, and as the Bible says, someone that never worked for it will get it and enjoy it for you. The Bible says, when you give your life to Jesus, when you labor for Jesus, you will find that you can take every single thing that you do for him with you. And as a fellow would say, it keeps you warm in those cold nights, knowing that you served God and worked for him. All these things are not for the future. These are things that we have to deal with today that are happening right now. And we see many instances of this in the news, I'm sure, around and about us, from those that can only see the end of their own nose. But we're in verse number 37, and I promise I will get through this as quickly as I can. This is the main part. That was the introduction. Who's the most important person in your life? If the most important person in your life was posed to a husband, he might say, well, my wife and children are, and I would do anything for them, even to give them my life. If you said to a good wife, who's the most important person or people in your life? They might say, well, my husband and children, I would die for them. If you asked a sports fan, they would say their favorite team. If you asked to keep fitter, they would say, my biceps, or my quads, or my abs, or, well, myself. It's my keeping fit and lean and mean. I would do anything for that. Most times if you ask children who's the most important person in their world, they'll say themselves or Mr. Xbox or PlayStation. If you ask a minister, many ministers would say it would be the church. And they would do anything for the church. By the way, did anybody see the article in the news today about the Church of England and the institutional abuse that they have been countenancing for years and years and years, sending these child abusers to different dioceses so that they... Anyway, some people really do need to be put to death. If you ask a soldier, they would say for king and country. And then whenever they're in the trenches, they would say the guy next to me, they're the most important people in the world. And in an ideal environment, those will all be noble. Those will all be good, aspirational, and even inspirational. But in dire circumstances, we see that do anything for would mean just that. A husband that would do anything for his family maybe would seek greater power and promotion at work to get nice things. He will literally sell his soul an inch at a time for that position of authority and power. I have seen it, and the cost is awful in lives and marriages, just to get that extra bit of money. A wife, a mother, will sell their integrity and their virtue for a few extra pounds to make ends meet. A fitness fanatic, again, sacrificed their virtue and their character to become the best looking at the gym. Children typically only think of themselves, and because mummy and daddy have trained them to do that, and they'll cry if they don't get a 60-pound video game. And let me tell you, that 60-pound video game is going to go up probably a bit more steeply than your current grocery bill, but do you know how many parents will buy their kids a 60-pound video game and then struggle to find money to pay their groceries? People's wants and priorities are all over the place. Especially when the rubber meets the road. And do you see, whenever feelings are involved, that's a whole different ball of wax again. Jeremiah 17 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's days I could hug everybody. And there's days I'd be best chained to a big concrete block buried in the garden. Like a bear with a sore head, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, angry at everything for no good reason. Except maybe the wee part of me that wanted to do something and God slapped him down in the night. I don't know. And sometimes it takes me an hour or two to realize. You see, whenever we start listening to our feelings, some days we feel great. Other days we feel awful. Some days we could shake everybody's hand and be their friend. And other days, you know, do you ever remember when you would put their head there and you would rub the top of their head? Other days you could just maybe tighten that up a wee bit until the person stopped moving and give it a wee jerk until you hear the pop. I wouldn't like to put to base anything upon anybody's feelings. How's about if we had a list of priorities that worked for everybody? What about a set of instructions that just worked for everybody the same, that everybody got a fair shake? What about that? Wouldn't it be great if there was a set of those about? Well, funny you should mention that. The King James Bible is that book. It's the only book that treats everyone the same. It's the only set of rules that has no special cases. And that is why God promised that he would keep that book. For as long as there's men, there will be the word of God to help them to live the way God wants them to live. And do you know the way that is? That is saved and obeying God. Saved and obeying God. And you know where the Bible's hated the most? In churches. We expect the devil worshippers to hate the Bible. They don't really. Sure, half of them use it to sell their movies. If there's ever a movie that they want to lend a little bit of gravitas to, there'll be a Bible quote at the beginning. It's normally from Revelation. As soon as Revelation's there, that's probably enough to send everybody screaming and hiding somewhere. But there is power in the Word of God, and God said, I will keep it there for everybody. God also promised salvation, because we can't save ourselves. And he promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will provide us the power to live for Jesus Christ. And lastly, he gave us a free will, so we can choose to live for Jesus Christ as an adopted son of the Most High God. Did we not read that in Romans 8? God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of adoption, whereby we can cry, call him Abba Father. God's way always works. Doesn't mean it's easy or popular, and you might have to admit and fix a few, shortcomings that you may have in your life, a few failures. But God's willing to give it a shot. If you're willing to give it a shot, he'll forgive you and help you. You may have to stand alone even in Christian company. What about Peter on the boat whenever he stepped out onto the water? I can almost see the other disciples just reaching for his coat or whatever it was, and just Did you ever try and catch someone and all you felt was the material on their coat when you were playing chasing? You were playing tag. And you just couldn't grab the coat, but you could feel it. I could almost see the other apostles in the boat. No, Peter! And just missing him as he hopped over the side and walked to the Lord. Means you'll shed tears over loved ones that hate you because you love Jesus. You're going to disagree with people you're going to have to part company with you. May even be some that harm you, and you might think, that'll never happen. My family and me are tight. I could take you to several million Germans about 75 years ago who thought the same, but Hitler got his tentacles. He got his claws into the little children and produced the Hitler Youth Movement, who sent many of their parents to the death camps. It's going to be sleepless nights too, calling out names to your Father in Heaven that you're grieved over. You may even lose opportunities to get money because you have to stand on your principles. But I want to tell you this one thing. You will never go through them alone. For all the things that the world, the flesh and the devil take away from you, God is something that's 100 times better. For everything. And God is always near to his children. He did say, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand. Excuse me, and no one can pluck you out. And that means our own stupid selves as well. Jesus will never forsake us. He'll never cast us out. We didn't even speak about the things that the Lord would enable us to do, but the ones that I have found is the words to speak in any message at any time whenever I'm keeping my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll stand up and open your mouth, he said, open your mouth and I will fill it. Don't be afraid, in that hour I'll give you the very words to speak. Whenever you pray, your prayers are answered. Wouldn't that be cool? What's the first thing people ask for? Any chance you could pray for a Ferrari parked out in the yard for me? I remember it used to be the example, you know what, if I ever won the lottery before I quit doing the lottery, I would get a really big sports car and park it in the MD's parking space. And whenever he comes out and tells me you're fired, you would just say, I don't care. The Lord says you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss to consume it in your lusts. Don't expect to get anything. And yes, I did stop the lottery after I watched a show about the lottery and came across a few Bible verses about the lottery. In other words, in Psalm 37, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. There was never a more biblical or concise description of the lottery. But this wee woman was on benefits and she was spending £20 a week to win something on the lotto or the lottery because she wouldn't be able to manage without it. Excuse me, I quit. I don't want to be part of that organization anyway. I want to be like that. I want to be a Christian that God uses. Don't you? Do you want to be a Christian God uses? Or do you want to be a 007 Christian? Do you want to be a fifth columnist Christian? Someone that can behave like the world, the flesh and the devil and just sneak in behind enemy lines and set off a gospel bomb? It doesn't work like that. There are no gospel bombs. Only gospel bombs, the word of God and the power that it has to blow down those fortifications we set up in our hearts against God. I put down George Mueller's name here. And I know we have mentioned George Mueller many, many times. He was walking and talking with God, and God answered his prayers so many times. And yet the best that we can do in our days today is remember George Mueller. Remember Adoniram Judson. Remember D.L. Moody. Remember William Carey. These guys lived over 100 years ago. Where have we gone wrong? The problem is, with all of our new technology, has anyone ever heard of Gore-Tex? It's the stuff that lets you breathe and keeps your feet, keeps the water out of you. We have got Gore-Tex boots and Gore-Tex coats, and we have found a way off of the straight and narrow road through the swamps that will suck down any unwary traveller, and we have found our way back onto the broad road. We're not lost, we're saved, but we're going the wrong way. We're doing the wrong thing. None of the men that we mentioned, and no Christian ever sets out to get power. Simon the sorcerer did. Was it Peter? Was it Peter? Said to him, I think you're in the bitterness of gall and iniquity. Your money perish with you, that you think the gift of God can be purchased with money. And he said, oh, please pray that none of these things that you've just mentioned actually happened to me. Do you want to act on behalf of God? It's not just a switch that gets flipped and all of a sudden you're a super Christian. All of those things that we mentioned, the praying, the reading, the studying, the church attendance. Do you know what? We never mentioned money. And the money, the tithes, all of those things enable you to do each one of those things and keep your eyes fixed on God and still have all the bills paid and enough groceries in your house to feed you. Because then you don't spend on stupid stuff. But when are we going to do that? When are we going to put the battery in the slot? Someday I'm going to have it here, but anyone ever heard of Big Track? Used to be a wee truck. You could type in a program and then you press go and it would go and do its thing. But you have to put batteries in it. It has to have power before it'll move. Because otherwise you can type in whatever program you like and you can hit the go button as many times as you like without the power to do it. It's not going to go anywhere and it's not going to do anything. We need the power of God. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be on our hands and knees in the presence of the Word of God. We need to be in the house of God. We need to have the Word of God on our lips. Not who's drinking, smoking, sleeping with, killing, kidnapping, cursing, worshipping the devil with. We need the Word of God. And it needs to be paramount in our lives. Romans 8 didn't mention about anything. Sorry, I didn't mention anything about God being no respecter of persons, but he isn't. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what clothes you wear or what you have in the bank. His instruction to the poor man is the same as instruction to the rich man, get saved. Put me first. And I will sort you right out. I will do something with your life that is just crazy. I have noticed one other thing in these days, that there is a great thronging of people to superheroes. We want to be like the Hulk, we want to be like Captain America, we want to be like Spider-Man, like Iron Man. And yet the greatest of them, although some may debate that, Superman, was actually based on the actual Messiah. And if any one of these guys came to our door, Spider-Man, he's quite wholesome. If he knocked on our door and said, come on, come with me. We're going to have amazing adventures. I promise I'll bring you safely home. We'd be away. Well, at least the kids would. I would be afraid there. Just you get maybe your back knocked out of whack swinging from building to building. I'd be game to give it a try, mind you. But if Superman came, what about the Hulk? He's big and strong, he said. Hulk bring you with Hulk. Hulk look after you. Hulk leave you home. And I go, And then go. And if Superman came and say, well, you're the best of the best, I'm away with you. And away in a flash. And we love the superheroes because they have all this power to fix people's lives and to save people from danger. But when Jesus comes knocking and saying, do things my way, everybody can be saved. The door shut again, and they'd be saying, who was that at the door, dear? Oh, it's just some mad religious guy. We need to get our priorities right. We need to trust God. And we need to listen to Him. And we need to seek Him. And you see, when He answers, and I want to tell you, friends, God always answers. We need to be ready to move whenever He gives us the solution to our request. We need to be. And before we start praying for, oh, Lord, please shut the preacher up after half an hour from here on in, because now we're 15 minutes into a question of sport. Before we start praying about other people and changing their lives, you know where I'm coming from now. We need to start praying about the one thing we can change. And we can do hand in hand with God, and then we can get a wee bit of practice in doing God's will in our own lives. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? That's where we need to start. Like we said at the beginning, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Change begins in the house of the Lord. Outreach begins in the house of the Lord. We need to put God first. Because any other way in John chapter 10 is the way of the thief and the robber. God said there's no thief or robber getting into heaven. We need to do it Jesus' way. And we need to knuckle through and do it quickly. Because these days are getting worse and worse. And there'll be coming a time whenever it'll cost you your life to serve Jesus Christ. Even in this country. So do what you can for Jesus and do it His way. In His time. And things will work out for the best. Thank you for your good attention. God bless you. We'll sing a song. And then we will be dismissed. But I have one last song, 145. Yes, indeed, it is well with my soul. If you'd like to stand as we sing, that would be grand.
It is well.
Trust it is the same. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please? Thank you.
Lord, we're thankful for this time around your word with your people tonight, Lord, and our hearts. Bless and guide us and lead us, Lord, throughout this week. Thank you for the message, Lord. I pray that hearts be strengthened, encouraged, Lord, straightened, and Lord, just in touch with you tonight. Minister to your absent brethren, be with those that are sick, Lord, please. Just protect them from the wiles and the fiery darts, we pray, the devil. Help us as well, Lord, just to be a help and a light in these days. Lord, to reach those that are lost and use us, we pray, as you see fit. See us safely home, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Tap elbows, tap toes.